Yes, sir, we promised you a great man. Oh, yeah, right.
Pick Andre!
The champ! WrestleMania!
WrestleMania is running wild!
My God, what?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the top sports and recreation podcast. Yeah, that's right, Greg, number one.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you believe it?
In the books and in their hearts.
That's right. We are absolutely the number one sports recreation podcast. Just kidding, but it's great to be back for another edition of Cheap Heat. I am Peter Rosenberg. I'm joined by the stat guy, a.k.a. No Stat, a.k.a. the physically large, the hashtag with a life. Stat guy, Greg.
Yeah, yeah. What's
going on, feeling? Peter? You're good?
I'm feeling great.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, congratulations are in order as well to you.
Really?
Yeah, I see Juan Epp is back for one night only.
That's right. For one night only. If you are a fan of Juan Epstein, the podcast, I urge you to go buy tickets. They're on sale at ticketweb.com. January 17th. Thank you, SGG, for the reminder. January 17th at the Highline Ballroom in New York City for one night only. My wife is currently parading around the room in front of me, trying on different outfits from some sort of box women's clothing thing that we should be currently doing advertising for. It would play out really well here. You know, like, go to Girl Fix. You know, and order the box. Use the code HEAT, but we don't have that. So, SGG.
Shame on them.
Big shame on them. Big shame on them. They should have gotten to us. Alexa, I like that jacket. Let me see it. Let's take a look. I think that's cute. No? She's making a face. She doesn't like the front. There's too much. I think it's kind of fashionable. I kind of like it.
Well, you know what she just told you with that face?
What?
It doesn't matter what you think.
That's well said. Well, that's exactly. I walked right into that. You know, SGG, I managed to get through the week in professional wrestling for the most part. Not 205 live. I mean, let's be reasonable. I have a lot of jobs here.
Nobody really gets through
all of 205 live. That's a lot. But I did make it through the Kevin Owens 365 special, so we can get to that. And I made it through, and I made it through both shows. So the first thing I ask you, is there anything outside the ring that you know about?
Well, we didn't get to talk about it because I guess the news broke really shortly after we wrapped last week. But Jim Johnston, apparently the rumors are true and he is gone from WWE.
Jim Johnston, the longtime man behind the music.
A long, wonderful career. The soundtrack to our wrestling fandom. He orchestrated all of that.
Wow. Yeah, he's
and
did some amazing stuff.
They down to the end was bringing the heat, too. Like, Jinder's theme, Baron Corbin's new theme. So, like, I think he still had the musical chops to continue on. But,
yeah, he still had Jim Johnson, still had some heaters.
Yeah. He was evolving, like he wasn't fading around. He was still with it, man. He could still go.
Damn. I did not even know that happened, SGG. I feel like a bad guy.
And this will be right up your alley too. The music stuff is you, P.
What do you think I should take over, you're saying?
Hey.
Well, listen, we had CFOs on the podcast, and you know, and if you want, of course, a great Jim Johnson moment is in Beyond the Mat when you see he's actually playing guitar and you kind of see what. For the record, he is an absolute WWE Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure. There's no way he's not.
Like, I don't see how. He's not a Hall of Famer. Let me see if I can give you. Do they have his discography? Let's see. Here we go. I got you. Themes by Jim Johnston. Here we go. Steve Austin. That's a big one.
Banger.
Smoke and Mirrors, Cody Rhodes, Ted DiBiase, Break the Walls Down, the second version.
Banger. A all-time banger.
The Rock, Electrifying.
Banger.
Alberto Del Rio.
That one could go, too. I like that one, too.
You can look, but you can't touch. You can't. Oh, that's sad. Randy.
I wasn't really feeling that one, but.
Let's see.
Brock Lesnar's one of his, too.
Kane. Oh, this is great. Vladimir Kozlov. Let's see. Hold on. And some of them. Some of them, though, he produced with bigger artists. Like, they give him credit for doing, you know, the game for Triple H with Motorhead.
Mm-hmm.
SOS.
Kofi.
Oh, that's
Jamaican
right.
Jamaican Kofi.
That's right. Let's see. I mean, so many more. The Hitman one. Of course, Heath Slater and David Otunga, tremendous work. Let's Light It Up, AJ Lee. Somebody Call My Mama. That was a classic, bro. Yeah. That Brodus Clay was a modern day classic. Brock Lesnar. Michael Cole, who I didn't know had a theme song. Let's see.
I don't know what his theme song sounds like.
I'm being shown another outfit. It's okay. I don't love it. The shoes are cute. I honestly have no idea. It's really, like, difficult. Like, you know, if it's something I absolutely love, it's easy. Greg, wouldn't you agree if it's middle ground, it's very hard?
It is, because then you don't know where they're going to go with it, and then if you go the wrong way, you just ruined your night.
Right. It's cool. Yeah, I like the shoes. I mean, they're a little prostitute-y, but I like them. Greg, is it possible to have something that's just like a touch prostitute-y? Well, just because they're bright red. They're bright red. But I like them. Do you like the shoes? They're okay. If you like them, I like them. The outfit's okay. I mean, I don't ever want to tell you then okay. I really don't know. It's okay. It's cute. It's okay. I'm not exactly sure. It's very difficult for me, Greg. The Shield music.
Yeah.
Big E Langston. Mr. Perfect.
I Got Five. Is that the one?
Which one? For what? I Need
Big
Five.
E Langston, I Got
That's
Five.
That's right. I Need Five.
Yeah,
I need five.
I Need Five. That one is a very underrated theme. Like
apparently, I don't remember it at all.
Themes.
How about this?
Oh my god, it was fire!
I got to go back and revisit. Here Comes the Money, Shane McMahon.
Iconic.
But then you see how many CFOs has gotten done. They may have done more already. The run has been so quick.
Well, if you're wondering, that list for Jim Johnston starts like real late. Like they don't even take into account, you know, Attitude Era stuff, and because I feel like early to late 80s, Jimmy Hart and Jim Johnston were doing, not together, but like Jimmy Hart did some and Jim Johnston did others. But then when Jimmy Hart left for WCW, like early 90s up until right now,
I mean, guys, he did the Undertaker's theme. He did the Undertaker's theme. He did No Chance in Hell. He's done it all. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, shout out to Jim Johnston. Hell of a run. Surefire Hall of Famer. He's not a Hall of Famer yet, right? I'm not messing that up, am I?
Not yet, but he needs to be, though.
So, okay. Beyond that, SGG, outside the ring, some other things going on. The Rock will be getting his official star on the Walk of Fame.
Oh,
that's coming next week.
It's about time.
Oh, yeah. And of course, he's got the new Jumanji movie. While him and John Cena going head to head in the box office.
Oh, Ferdinand and Jumanji?
Ferdinand and Jumanji going to war right now. And in fact, I'd like you, for the record, ever since I stopped cutting promos about people being with a life, like we went from getting just nonstop tweets. Like the With a Life episodes were the most tweeted ever in 5 years of this podcast. Since then, no one says a word to us. I thought the podcast didn't even air last week. So I would like you to right now, if you're on Twitter, I'd like you to at myself, at Rosenberg Radio, and at Stat Guy Greg, and tell us if you are hashtag Team Ferdinand or Team Jumanji.
I'm not going to lie. This is going to sound Ferdinand? Crazy. Team Ferdinand.
No, me too.
I'm Team Ferdinand.
That could be funny.
I love The Rock, but not for nothing. Jumanji's a remake. Yeah, I'm very anti-Hollywood with these remakes, man.
Especially the new remakes.
And I'm tired of these remakes, man. Like, I want to see something new. I remember the original Jumanji fondly. I don't need to see this new Jumanji remake. But Ferdinand is something new that I could... I got 15 nieces and nephews, too, man. I watch a lot of these animated movies, yo. So, I'm in, Ferdinand.
So, Ferdinand, you're hashtag Team Ferdinand.
All the way.
Alexa, are you interested in Ferdinand or Jumanji? Have you heard of both? Not interested in either. What about the original Jumanji, the Robin Williams vehicle? She's a fan of the original.
Yeah, the classic.
Outside the ring, Greg. Are we forgetting anything else from the last week?
TNA hired some new executives. Don Callis, who WWE fans might know as the Jackal. Wrestling fans worldwide might know him as one of the voices of New Japan. He's, okay. I think, a vice president over there now. And someone else whose name is escaping me at the moment.
I believe it was Tim Schmickel.
Yeah, I was never going to remember that.
I made that up. I made up Tim Schmickel.
Okay.
I believe
the name is really escaping me.
No, I believe, if I'm being serious now, I believe it was actually his cousin, Tom Smocken.
Ah. Okay.
Do you think it was
Schmashma's uncle?
No, Tom Schmocken is not related. Neither Tim Schmickel nor Tom Smocken are related, but they are taking over things at TNA. Okay. Moving right along. Yo, it's so crazy. So I listened. We will get to everything, but guys, it's the new era, so we do whatever we want here. I revisited. I spent some time today. I had to go to Stanford, actually, and I spent some time. Oh, yeah. I spent some time listening to Wade Keller's podcast, which I haven't heard in a long time. First of all, I'd like to commend Wade Keller for not only having some of the greatest diction in the history of podcasting. Have you ever listened to Keller's podcast?
Never.
Really? You've read Wade Keller before?
That's no disrespect to Wade Keller, but it's just way too many podcasts out there.
No, listen, I understand. And his is nerdy on a different level. It is definitely a different level.
It's not even
level.
There's all types of podcasts. There's music podcasts. Like, I used to have Wand Up and Cheap Heat in my rotation, and then Stone Cold. And Joe Rogan's podcast is 4 hours. The MMA hour is never an hour. It's just a lot to juggle.
No, listen, I get it. And listen, Wade Keller's is very nerdy, but insightful. Obviously, he knows wrestling. I don't care what anyone. I don't know if not that people don't say this, but I don't care what anyone says. He knows his stuff. Granted, he only puts over Sam Roberts. Doesn't refer to me ever, but that's okay. He is a very knowledgeable guy, and his diction. This is my impression of Wade Keller, pro wrestling journalist Wade Keller, saying the name of our favorite wrestling company. WWE. WWE. He literally, I've never seen someone. It's like he has nightmares about the way Vince McMahon and Kurt Angle say WWE. So his is WWE. WWE. It's very, very impressive. But anyways,
Kurt Angle's is wild.
I listened to, Kurt Angle's like this. It's his, again, here's Wade Keller. WWE. Here's Kurt Angle.
the WWE.
WWE. Oh, yeah, it's WWE. It's WWE. So I listened to Wade today. It was the he had, what's his face? Jason. Oh, don't forget Jason's name, who does the podcast with him. Anyways, and it was interesting to hear where they are these days, and it sort of helped. I got to tell you, you know, especially when the product is bad. Having some trouble there walking there, huh? Especially when the product is bad or yeah, not at its best.
Cold.
You heard that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that's her crashing thing. When the product isn't necessarily at its best, sometimes my mind goes numb, which is why last week and the week before, you know, or I guess we were off the week before, last week, I really wasn't surprised to not hear from that many people, because what profound things do we offer, you know? And then you you listen to some real WWE, you know, or wrestling enthusiasts who really want to break it down, and it actually can, you know, it can help get your thoughts going, because they really think about things so analytically. And I realize it's much more of a fun hobby for me than serious thing that I cover. I mean, the way that what they get to, when I hear, I mean, when they were promoting a thing that they do, I think on ProWrestling.net, where they break down the Jason Powell, I forgot his name, Jason Powell, was talking about them doing a thing where they do roster breakdowns, which I think is cool. You know, I enjoy really nerdy stuff, hearing it. And talking about doing a roster breakdown, doing a SmackDown breakdown, and then they do a TNA roster breakdown. I'm like, a TNA roster breakdown? What? Is that even? I can't.
You know about that, though. Going into TNA and, like, down what they got going on over there.
There was a time when I could go down the rabbit hole. TNA's had some moments, but maybe I'm too close to it. Maybe I have too many jobs. It just seems, you know, this is the nature of the, this is a real problem I have with myself. The more, the further along you get in the fields that you're interested in, the more difficult it becomes to have a wide knowledge of it. You can have a deep knowledge of it, but I believe it inherently has to narrow if you're doing more work in the field. I mean, or maybe I'm just lazy. I mean, I guess lazy is probably not the word. I don't
know. You got 97 jobs. I don't think that's it.
Yeah, I know. I'm Jamaican. I guess that sounds farcical, but you know, maybe it's just my brain isn't big enough to do it all. But to me, like, the further I get into hip hop, now that I've been on Hot for 10 years, my ability to tell you a wide range of, like, under, below the radar hip hop, it's challenging. But my ability to communicate about the big stories is probably better than it's ever been. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense.
So, and I feel the same thing with wrestling.
Like a jack of all trades kind of thing.
Yeah, it's just, that's my thing about, same with wrestling. Like, listen, my main roster talk, phenomenal. My NXT talk starts to get a little sketchy. My ROH and TNA talk, listen, Bear could host a podcast that would be on the same level as mine right now. Okay? And in fact, this just in, Bear the Dog is launching his new hashtag With a Life Dog Wrestling Podcast. Yep, for dogs only. It's in memory of Matilda. The logo is a picture of him with Matilda. Matilda superimposed in heaven looking down. All right, so SGG, I've rambled enough. We will not go over every segment in this week, of course, but your number one thought on your mind watching WWE this week, WWE this week, or WWE this week?
I was most pleasantly surprised with
here we
how
go.
Well they pulled off.
Wait,
the Matt Hardy awakening.
Wow! You believe the Matt Hardy awakening was pulled off well?
I do.
What did you like about it? And I'll present another side.
I thought it was going to be really cheesy. Right? Especially after last week, like with him doing the delete in the corner, I didn't have high hopes for it. I thought they were going to find a way to, I don't want to say botch it, but I didn't have high hopes for it. And, you know, there's room for it to go on a downward spiral for sure. But Monday, the dueling promos, the dueling promo that he did with Bray Wyatt, I think it did something well for both of them. And I got excited because, like right after that segment, I remembered when we interviewed Bray, this year, I believe it was. Sure. At Mania, and he mentioned like he wanted to do some stuff with Matt Hardy because he felt like their characters complemented each other, and we didn't know at the time, and I don't think he knew at the time that Matt Hardy was on his way to the WWE, but
WWE. I think it's actually
WWE.
Okay,
but like he showed up and he's there, and then they kept them far away from each other.
Why, when you do it, do you sound like the Count?
The Count from Sesame Street?
Yeah. WWE.
WWE.
Yeah, I don't know why you sound that way. That's very strange.
No, seriously.
No, I think you're right, though. I remember the conversation well.
And just to like see him get that and to see it being pulled off so well, because he mentioned it in that interview, too, that like their styles complemented each other, and just to see the dueling promos and to go back and forth from like the darkness to the light, you know, Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy. And even with Bray Wyatt going so far as to say like, Matt Hardy, like I didn't break Matt Hardy. And then Matt Hardy jumping in to be like, no, I've been awoken. Like that was cool to me. Let's see them say like, acknowledge what he did, but we're going to go in a different direction with it.
I hear you, and I'm glad to hear a positive spin on it. I'll tell you what I don't like is that it feels like it would have been so easy to get to the broken place organically. To me, it feels like it would have been really easy to get there. And I just feel like they kind of rushed it, and then we just got into this weird back-and-forth promo thing. There's two things I don't like. Number one, I would have liked a series like of losses leading to a breakdown. Like we knew we were going to get this deletion angle, and everyone's happy, going to be happy about it. So just take us there. I didn't feel like they took us on the journey. They just were kind of lazy. It was like, just go right to it. This is what you want. So know it. Yeah, I know it's what we want, and it's very easy. That doesn't mean you can't find a plausible way to do it. And even though this is a ridiculous storyline, but you get the idea. And then,
right.
So I didn't like that. And then my only other problem with it is I'm excited to see them work together because their characters go so well together. However,
they do.
However, it doesn't change the fact that I still don't know what the hell's going on when Bray Wyatt talks. I still don't know I don't understand his character's motivation for anything. I don't understand any of it.
Well, Bray's problem is, and this has been his problem since they broke up the Wyatt family, is he's a cult leader without a cult. So it's like, you're right. Why is he doing any of this stuff? And even when he was in his feud with Finn, and, you know, like, I can be more demonic than the demon, it's like, okay, no. None of, like, so right now, it feels like it's going to go down that road again for Bray, where it's just like you constantly start these wars and you lose. So, like, why should we care? But I think at least this feud is going to be more entertaining than the others.
It'll be entertaining. And then the question is, like, how can we utilize broken Matt Hardy with Jeff Hardy? Because Matt Hardy isn't the same in ring anymore, guys. I mean, I'm not saying anything crazy, okay? It's not like Chris Jericho, who may have lost a step. Maybe. It's, you know, Matt Hardy just physically is beat up, right? I mean, his brother can still go. So the beauty of it is, here's the beauty. With broken Matt Hardy, you get this character everyone loves. It's really wacky. And he doesn't really have to work that much if they utilize Jeff the right way. So how dope is it? You have someone who's totally over and can be over. Only problem is he can't work that much. Oh, guess what? Does it matter? Not only do people love the character anyway, but you have a brother who can work still. So,
well, yeah, that's the beauty of the Broken Matt Hardy character, though. Like, that he, the style is so different. Like, he doesn't have to do that high impact stuff because it's mostly character. So they can get a lot of mileage out of this if they do it right.
And they can get a lot of character, a lot out of Brother Nero as well. Utilize Brother Nero. He's a reliable man. Has been for
Brother Nero's on the shelf right now, so we don't, I don't know when he's going to be back, but
how long till Brother Nero's back?
Cuz it was a shoulder injury,
yeah,
right?
I think it's a couple months still maybe.
Yeah.
All right, so I got to talk about the thing that I thought was the biggest deal on Raw, and that would be what appears to be the real steps towards heel Jason Jordan. Now, let me tell you what do you want first, good news or bad news?
Let's get the bad news out of the way.
They didn't all out pull the trigger yet. It seems like they put him in a spot where he's up against someone who generally gets booed. So in Roman Reigns, Roman Reigns has a faction of people who always boo. So in putting Jason Jordan up against Roman Reigns, in one sense it's interesting because you're testing. How much do they really hate Jason Jordan? Are they going to cheer him over Roman Reigns? The answer is no, they're not. They hate him more than Roman Reigns. Okay,
yeah.
That's a good sign. However, if you're about to turn someone, don't you want them to be involved in someone who they're actually going to be upset to have them jump? Like, put Jason Jordan next to someone who really gets cheered. That is how, if you want to take advantage of the fact that they do not like Jason Jordan, if they are already leaning towards not liking Jason Jordan, and then they have him do something to Roman Reigns, he doesn't have enough heat that it's going to get Roman Reigns over more. It's not that at that point. And at the same time, I don't think it does anything to make him more hateable. It was half pregnant to me.
I slightly disagree with what you're saying. And here's why. They know very well that Jason is more hated than Roman Reigns. Like, so we can agree on that and put that aside. Like, they know this. And I think that they are planting little seeds at him, you know, being a full on heel. Because even like his match with Roman Reigns, right? He, you know, first he attacked him before the match even started with that suplex. But then, like, during the match, Jason Jordan was taunting the crowd. He's not doing things that you see like a typical babyface do. So it's not even like they're trying to keep him on the babyface line. Like, they're slowly giving him.
But if you have him start using these heel tropes, right, and doing mean things to Roman Reigns, doing unfair things to Roman Reigns, isn't that just like a slow build to the heel turn? Why not do?
Yes.
But do one or the other. Either you let the crowd continue to boo him every week and let him just be kind of whiny and like, I'm going to get my chance. And everyone's like, we don't care. We hate you. And he's like, no, I deserve it, blah, blah, blah. And then one day he just snaps and beats down Kurt Angle or someone beloved.
But he's been doing that. And I don't think that he might not get to that. He's been whining. Like, he's been trying to be
exactly.
The hero.
But that's what I'm saying.
He has been trying to be the hero and, like, failing spectacularly.
What do you mean? Like, failing to be the heel?
The hero. Like,
oh,
even last week,
yes,
he
yes,
was
yes,
like,
yes, yes. Yeah, no,
oh,
that,
my, leg
my,
is,
point.
My leg is 100%. I can do this. And then it's like, no,
but Greg,
you can't.
That's my point. That's
and
my
we don't
point.
Care.
That's my point. You're failing to be the hero. Okay, great. So fail to be the hero. 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 Snap and hurt someone beloved. Instead, they went, fail to be the hero, fail to be the hero, fail to be the hero. Attack someone who's not completely loved and start acting somewhat heelish during your match. That's half-assing it. That's not maximizing when the heat you could get out of him.
It's funny that we have this conversation after the Matt Hardy conversation, because like with the Matt Hardy thing, you said, you know, they should have teased it out more, and I disagree. I think they definitely should have pulled the trigger because he's ready. Like, the crowd has been with him since WrestleMania with the delete chance, so they needed to jump on that first chance they get. And with Jason Jordan, I do think you tease it out. Like, let the hate continue to build.
But Greg, hold on. Back to Matt Hardy for a second. I'm not saying they should have spent the next month having him lose and snap. I'm saying, what were you doing with him for the last month?
The last month he was in a holding pattern. I mean, I'll give you that.
Why? Why be in a holding pattern and then rush the broken part? Why not be easing your way into the broken part and make it meaningful?
Well, I don't think that they – I think that the reason they didn't ease the way into the broken part earlier was because TNA had the threat of that lawsuit that they were never going to win hanging over them. So they figure, like, it's easier to not even play around and hint at the Awoken stuff if they know they're not going to be able to use it. And the reason they don't do anything else is because, like, honestly – I'm tired of this, and I know they are too, of them starting a storyline to pivot and go completely in another direction. And that's what they would have had to do with Matt Hardy if he was doing something else. And then next thing you know, his awakening happens because they have the opportunity.
I hear that argument. I still think they got into it in a way that's clunky. But I feel very strongly that the Jason Jordan thing's been half-assed. It's like they were going to – it feels like we got here totally by accident. It feels like they really wanted him to be a babyface, but they didn't really have a story to make him a babyface. So they had him start getting beat up and becoming this failed hero. To me, it felt by accident. It didn't feel like that was exactly what the plan was. And just to me, the ultimate in making someone – listen, I'm not a booker. I do not know that much. But for me, those things, those moments that are shocking are when you have someone turn on someone that you can't believe they turned on. Him attacking Roman Reigns, who gets booed by half the crowd, to me, just doesn't accomplish the same thing as having him attack someone who's really beloved, like universally beloved.
But when he finally leans into that heel persona, where on the card do you want him to be, though? You know what I mean? Like, him attacking Kurt Angle, right? It's inevitable, but then when he does it, is that going to lead to a match with Kurt Angle? Like, a prolonged feud with Kurt Angle? Is that going to bump him up to the top of the card?
I don't know. It crossed my mind today, though, that it could be Jason Jordan and Kurt Angle at WrestleMania.
But then, like, really... I don't know if that, like, when he finally leans into that heel turn, you want him to be as high up on the card as you can. And
why? So he can instantly lose to Roman Reigns?
Not so he can instantly lose to Roman Reigns, but like, so he can get a long feud with somebody that we end up caring about, the both of them, at the end of it. I mean, look how well that worked out for Braun Strowman.
I don't know. Listen, I sort of hear what you're saying.
And I'm not saying it has to be Roman, but I mean, we want him to be at the top of the card when they finally do whatever they're planning on doing with him.
Well, who else is out there that's a baby? Because, I mean, I guess it couldn't be Matt Hardy right now because Matt Hardy's got this thing going with Bray.
Yep.
Finn,
it could be Finn actually.
How about Finn?
Finn saved them last week, and then, like, if he's going to turn on anybody, he could get tired of Finn jumping in to save him.
By the way, so look at that. You answered it yourself. Finn, it could actually make some sense of the nonsense that happened with Finn last week. That could actually make that worthwhile. Because Finn tries to come help him again, and while he's trying to come help him, Jason Jordan just completely turns on him. And I think a story with Finn could actually be good for both of them. Because I don't understand what Finn's doing. And
Finn is in a bit of a holding pattern too right now.
Exactly. And so Finn, by the way, so you have him in a story with Roman Reigns, but Roman Reigns' story is with Samoa Joe. So it would make more sense to have had him and Finn do this And then at the end, guess what? Jason Jordan, this guy who has the potential to be a really over heel, can actually win in a feud with Finn Balor. It doesn't matter. You know, I don't think there's nearly as much lost in that. Anyways, yeah. I'll tell you this, though. I hope that the little things that he's doing, the whining, the relying on Kurt Angle, all those things, I just hope Jason Jordan keeps running with it, because you're starting to see that he seems like hateable in a good way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought that very early, like basically from his first week when no one was into him. I thought right away that this guy, people are going to not like this guy. And I'm looking for, I said it to him the first time I saw him.
You did. Yeah. You said it on this show too. I didn't see it at first. I mean, I just got to accept it now. Jason Jordan, the hate is just going to keep coming his way.
I'm being shown another shirt. I don't know what the gap was between the last outfits. I took a 25-minute break, and now she comes back with sort of a blue tank top thing. I think it's cute. Are those new jeans, too? The jeans are really cute. Jeans for sure, yes. I like them a lot. And, yeah, I like the shirt, too.
Okay. You just won me over, too. I was going to say, you're not doing great at this game.
But you thought that was good.
I was gonna say you need to be enthusiastic about something. But before I could say that, you came with the comment about the jeans, and
see?
I think you're back.
Listen,
in.
Because on Hot 97, I'm a relationship guru. I'm not gonna mess it up all night. I'm not gonna compliment my wife.
Yeah, I was like, yo, you just put the shovel down and get a win. Put one on the board.
Now, so speaking of my wife, we are going to LA tomorrow night, which feels very weird. Considering LA right now, the images, it looks like it's like the birthplace of Cain. I mean, talk about hellfire and brimstone.
Man, I hope everybody's safe, all our LA West Coast listeners.
Yeah, me too, man. I mean, shout out to everyone out there.
Shoemaker and Dip and the whole West Coast family.
No, I don't think so. Do I have to decide? They start to ask me, should I tuck it in? Do I have to decide how you're going to wear it right now? I'm doing a podcast. Yeah, it's fine like that. I like to put it the other way. What is happening? But yeah, shout out and prayers going out there to the people in Bel Air and everyone who's in the way, and the firefighters who I know are getting worn down after a week of doing this with all this wind. But Greg, the weird thing is I don't think anyone expects that this will be a problem in downtown LA, Hollywood, or Beverly Hills, which is where I'll be, you know, those places on the trip. But at the same time, doesn't it just feel like weird and counterintuitive to, like, watch the news and then get on a flight to go to L.A. tomorrow?
Yes, it does.
But, like, no one's canceling flights or anything.
Well.
So, like.
I mean, I guess they know something we don't about how, you know, the severity of it.
Well, I think the main thing is, and, you know, maybe there's some people on the West Coast who can hit us with more information, but I think mostly what it is those places, downtown LA, Hollywood, etc., they're all concrete. So the fire doesn't spread in the same way to those parts because it's not ember hitting trees, it's all pavement. So as a result, I think those places are much safer than these wooded, more rural places. But either way, prayers up. I will be out in L.A., though. We're heading out tomorrow. I'm doing Sports Nation on Monday and Tuesday, if you want to check for that. All right, so we got through. We talked Jason Jordan. Exciting. Elias is coming along, too, Greg, week by week. Huh? I mean, we have a potential real player in the game in Elias over the next 6 months.
Yeah, I walk with Elias. I'm not even ashamed.
You're not
to
even
say
strolling.
It.
You're walking.
No, I walk with Elias.
So there's some people say you're walking hand in hand, or you're even riding his back like a piggyback ride.
Son, however I am when you see me with Elias, just know that's my dude right there.
So you're a big fan.
Yeah, I am an Elias supporter.
Well, you know what? Really, maybe we'll find out right now whether or not he makes the Black Power Rankings.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all. I'm blickety black, blacker than black, black. I'm blacker than black, yo, because I'm black and I'm black. Yo, I'm black and I'm black, y'all, and I'm.
That's right. You never know who's going to pop up on the Black Power Rankings, SGG.
So I put a lot of thought this week's rankings. It was really in flux. I'll say this. It was different on Tuesday than it was last night than it is right now. But the final rankings are in, and they're here. And in at number three.
Hold on, SGG. Hold on. We got so close. But guess what? You got to put those on hold. You know why?
Why?
Because we have an important message to deliver from our friends at Dollar Shave Club. You see how I let people think that we were about to do it? They thought it was about to happen. No, SGG. Not quite yet. Dollar Shave Club, ladies and gentlemen. There are certain items that you just don't feel like going out to get. You want to have them come to your house. No one's trying to take care of face and skin and shower products in the store. No, you want the finest, best, most premium products sent right to you. And that's how Dollar Shave Club does it. We want you to try Dollar Shave Club. Love it as much as we do. You know that I love the razors. You know that I love the shave butter. And Greg, what's your favorite item?
I don't have one.
No, you do. It's the butt wipes.
Yo, you got to stay fresh, though. You joke.
See?
You got to stay fresh.
See, I normally just say it when Greg's not hearing me record the spots, that Greg's personal favorite are the butt wipes. But as Greg tells you, you got to stay fresh. They got all that.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. That was a good guess, P, but I'm just going to say it's because you know me so well.
Yeah, of course.
That if I knew that was available, that would have been my choice.
Exactly. That's what it is. In fact, I'm trying to get them to rename them the Stat Guy Greg butt wipes. But get over to DollarShaveClub.com right now. Get yourself some dope razors. Get yourself some wipes, some shave butter, or some body cleanser. And yes, even the SGG favorite, the butt wipes. It's so easy. Plus, right, listen to this deal. You get over there, the DSC, the Dollar Shave Club starter set, $5 exclusively at DollarShaveClub.com/heat. That's DollarShaveClub.com/heat. Get over there right now. Number three, let's do it.
So, in the number three, which is a bit of a makeup call from last week, he should have been in there after earning his way into a match for a shot at the Cruiserweight Championship, is Rich Swann.
Wow.
Yeah, I overlooked Rich Swann, and it's not right. So he has to get his recognition this week. We can't delay that anymore. And who knows? Maybe after he has that match with Drew Gulak, he'll be back on here next week. But he's in at number three for now. In at number two is Jason Jordan.
Oh yeah.
For obvious reasons, we spent a lot of time earlier in the podcast talking about how well he performed on Monday and how he's moving up the card. So Jason Jordan is in at number two, and in at number one, a late addition. Is Sasha Banks.
Wow.
Yeah.
The boss.
She had a match with Paige on Monday. She lost. She had a match with Alexa Bliss today in Abu Dhabi. She lost that match too. But she's in the number one because she made history. And we pay the ultimate respect to the people who paved the way, the trailblazers, the pioneers here on the Black Power Rankings. First ever women's wrestling match in Abu Dhabi. So for being a participant and making history, the boss is number one on this here Black Power Rankings.
Even though last week Asuka had the shortest match in recorded WWE history and did not end up anywhere near your Black Power Rankings.
No.
Wow. Very interesting. All right, SGG. No New Day.
No New Day.
No Usos.
No Usos. No Street Profits. But you know.
All right.
But Sasha.
No
Banks.
Leo.
No Velveteen Dream.
No Velveteen Dream.
He'll be back though. We know he'll be back. So
Velveteen,
not even
let's
back.
Just be honest. Velveteen Dream.
Yeah.
Velveteen Dream needs to come up with his own smoothie. Because every time you talk about him, I picture an orange creamsicle smoothie. Velveteen Dream. It sounds delicious.
Yeah, he'll be back on the Black Power Rankings. Let's be honest.
All right, that is your Black Power Rankings, SGG. I know there's a couple of other things, you know, obviously that those were not the only things that happened on Monday Night Raw.
No, Paige, like I said, Paige and Absolution, they were very active on Monday Night Raw, actually. I believe they beat down Alicia Fox.
Yeah.
They teased the Asuka beatdown. They let her get away again. I wonder what that's about. I guess we're going to find out.
And I had fun. I had fun watching some Paige and Sasha Banks.
Yeah, nah. Paige proved that she still got it, man. Like, she backed up everything that she said on the mic. And, you know, even though they're trying to do the exact same thing on SmackDown, yeah, I sure think are. it's working much, much better on Monday nights.
What did Raw close with?
Raw closed with Sheamus and Cesaro retaining the Raw Tag Team Championships after they won.
Oh, that's
by
right.
Disqualification, I believe, and then Kurt Angle started the match, no disqualification, and then Samoa Joe showed up,
and then Roman comes out.
Yep. And then they lost, and then Samoa Joe and the Bar left through the crowd, very Shield-esque. And I love that little detail of them just like leaving through the crowd and doing the pose at the top of the stairs.
Now, speaking of Roman Reigns, did you watch Straight from the Source with Corey Graves?
I did not watch Straight from the Source, but I heard it was good. I heard it was entertaining and enjoyable.
It was. It was a cool interview with Roman Reigns. There were some actual really personal parts, talking about the details of his having the mumps, and you know, him and Graves have a relationship, and you could tell that in it. It was very clear. He talked about the way people treat him and his character, and you know how he thinks of himself. I thought of a conversation based on Keller and Jason Powell had a nice conversation on their podcast about Roman, and it got me to thinking about you, SGG. I have a very powerful question for you.
Okay.
Roman Reigns at the top of the pile right now. There's no doubt about that. That being said, how successful do you consider, not how good in ring is he, I'm not saying that, not how athletic he is, I'm not telling you, how successful do you believe his run at the top has been so far?
How successful has it been?
That's right.
It depends on how you're defining success and what the goals are, right? Like, you've heard Kevin Owens say this, and anytime you're in the arena, you experience this. Roman Reigns gets the biggest reaction out of the crowd 9 times out of 10. You do not want to miss his matches. You see him selling merch everywhere. There was a Raw a couple of weeks ago. There was a dude in the front row with a Roman Reigns vest on. Shield shirts everywhere. Roman Reigns shirts everywhere. He sells action figures. So, like, if you talk about moving merch and crowd engagement and getting people to care, he's very successful. Now, getting people to cheer for him, they haven't been super successful at that, you know, getting that to happen universally across the board. But people care more about Roman Reigns, whether it's love or hate, than they do about anybody anywhere in wrestling.
However, though, would you say that Roman Reigns, who you love, could receive the same criticism that our favorite Bret Hart received about leading the company and being the number one guy in the company in a time in which the company's not at its best?
No, I don't. I mean, that's definitely true of Bret Hart, but Bret when the company wasn't doing well, wrestling on a whole wasn't doing well. So it's just like there was no way WWE was gonna wasn't gonna take that hit. Roman Reigns, like, didn't WWE set like revenue records? Like, they're doing fine. They're doing just fine. They're doing good. They're still filling up arenas. Maybe they don't sell that every single seat.
Yeah, I mean, I do think attendance is down a bit.
They're not performing to empty arenas.
No, it's not empty, but I would say it's not that. Let me put it this way. So far, do you think in terms of the wrestling product and the mainstream popularity and the arenas being full and numbers, etc., do you think the WWE is in as good hands with Roman Reigns in the top spot as it was with John Cena in the top spot?
Well, I think so, but I think that's going to be something
Greg,
that we
have. You realize that you're like the Kellyanne Conway of the WWE. I can ask you anything about the people you like, and I will listen to you scramble and come up with an answer. It's unlike anything I've ever seen.
Nah, but here's why I'll say that, though. Because, like, even when John Cena was at his height, I didn't like him, but I still watched. I would say how much I hated him, and I still watched. I still watched his matches, and I was still engaged in his matches. And even though I am a Roman Reigns supporter, there are people who respond to him the same way that I was responding to John Cena. And it's like, as long as we're still watching, then he's doing his job. So, I mean,
I'm throwing the question out because I think Roman, you know, he talked about in the interview where he sees himself, and I think he is, first of all, at the top, and I also think he puts on big time matches and big time spots. I'm a big fan, though I think there's still room to grow. I'm a big, big fan. But to me, there's no denying that there appear to be some spots where attendance isn't at its best. And I just don't know. I don't know. I worry. You know, listen, it's early on for him, and he has a lot more room to grow. But I think if it was to end right now, and we look back on the last 3 years as the Roman Reigns on top era, I think we could look at it as sort of Bret Hart-like in that he was on top in a time that I'm not saying the company was down, like they weren't making any money, but just where maybe the product wasn't at its absolute best.
Yeah, I say that, like the overall product. I mean, he still delivered, but again, the overall product, you know, it's hit or miss
Greg,
in some
here's
places.
Another one. Here's another one. Here's another tough one for you. Tough one. You have one guy to start your company with right now. Age not being a factor, okay? Remove age. We're just talking about everything else. Roman Reigns or AJ Styles?
One guy to start my company?
That's right.
I'm not going to lie. I'm going to go AJ Styles.
So you think AJ is number one right now? If for you.
I don't think AJ is number one right now. Roman Reigns said that he's the best performer in the world. And then I went on Twitter and I said he's not wrong. And then I had people jumping in my mentions, and they name dropped AJ Styles and Kenny Omega and Tetsuya Naito and all these. Let me say this first of all. I love Naito. Naito's one of my favorite wrestlers in the world. I like New Japan. None of those New Japan guys get to enter the conversation of being the best in the world, because if you look at it like this, right? WWE is the NBA, right? I grew up in Harlem. Rucker Park and One Street Baller. Street Ballers are amazing, but that's all New Japan is. It's the Street Ballers. Most basketball fans, unless you're real hardcore, don't really know about the guys that show up to Rucker every summer. And even the best guy at Rucker is still not a guarantee that he could be the best in the NBA. So if a guy wants to be considered the best, they got to go to the WWE and put up numbers there,
argument,
and then they can enter the GOAT conversation.
Argument on the flip side, though, I don't disagree that you're not completely in the same conversation until you're there. The difference is SGG. People don't go to the Rucker and train there and get great there and then go dominate in the NBA. That doesn't really happen. Whereas
no, it doesn't.
Whereas people do learn their craft in New Japan and then make and then turn out to be great and prepared as a result when they get to WWE. It is much more directly influential. I mean, some of the great talent, some of the best talent we have in WWE partially got there from being in Japan. So, but listen, I'm not saying that I disagree that I don't know if you have to be, you know, listen, maybe Kenny Omega is the best wrestler in the world. I realize here's the problem. I realize this today, Greg, and I realize this separates me from a lot of people in our listening audience. And at first I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't even say it. But then I thought, no, they're going
to speak your truth.
There are going to be people out there who agree with me. I realize that on a week-to-week basis of consuming WWE product, and this is probably why I don't watch New Japan or Ring of Honor regularly, this is big. I don't always care about the in-ring product. I don't. Like, on a week-to-week basis, guys. And listen, take a moment while you're listening. Tweet us, at Rosenberg Radio, at Stat Guy Greg, whether you're hashtag with a life or not. Although I think everyone is without a life is already gone. I think if you're really honest with yourself, a lot of people, I'm not the only one, here's how I would describe my viewing. On a week-to-week basis, if I'm in a rush, if I'm not able to sit back and watch the entire Raw, I end up fast-forwarding through matches and wanting to watch promos. And then,
what?
And then if I see it's guys who I can, who really can work, I watch most of those matches. And then, the only shows where I care about watching every minute of in-ring work is pay-per-views. That is the way I consume the product a lot of the time.
Because matches are not always high level,
and,
that's
well, and,
fair.
And not consequential.
But listening to the words, I was like, that's absurd.
No, I know. Listen, when I thought it out loud to myself, I felt like a sellout. But like the on a week-to-week basis, match results are not that consequential. And I am not, you know, truly in my soul, I'm not the purest of in-ring performing. Like, I love great, it's funny because, you know, Bret Hart was always my favorite, Savage my favorite, who I do deem to be as great in-ring workers as you could have. But ultimately, on a week-to-week basis, that's not what drives me and motivates me. And the matches, to your point, this goes back full circle. To your point, you can tell me about how great guys are who are performing incredible matches overseas. But, like, no one can tell me New Japan stories mean that much. You know?
I would argue not against that, though. Like, especially with Tetsuya Naito and his getting this championship opportunity, even when he was the Intercontinental Champion and disrespecting the title because he had a little vendetta against the belt that he was carrying. And so, like, he tossed it in the air and broke it down and treated it like trash. That was deep. It was very
well,
deep.
By the way, I'm totally blanketing and don't have enough information to say that that's not ever the case. I'm sure there are great stories. But do you think, by and large, the reason people who watch New Japan and even Ring of Honor to an extent, I feel that a lot of those fans are fans that really prioritize in-ring product more than they prioritize story?
Because that's what they say the difference is between New Japan and Ring of Honor type of wrestling and WWE is that one, like, it's all sports entertainment, but one leans more on the sport and one leans more on the entertainment. WWE obviously being the more entertainment driven wrestling show.
It's an interesting conversation, I think, for our audience to think about what drives you the most when you watch product. But, and I don't think there's a wrong answer. I know some people make, that's ridiculous. How do you want to sit and watch promos? Yeah, I mean, I'm into entertainment. I love an amazing athletic in-ring match, but it really only takes form for me and gets really important to me when there's consequences based on those stories.
I do have to say this, though, before we go too far off this topic. because I like I said, I do think that Roman Reigns is the best performer in the world, and I agree with his statement. But the reason I chose AJ Styles is because, like you said, my favorite, Bret Hart, Savage, like Mr. Perfect, like the in-ring workers. So if I had to pick a guy, I would pick the guy that I trust more to deliver in big match situations. So that's why I would say AJ Styles. But I still believe Roman Reigns is the best in the world because, like he said, and like I've said before, this man has been on a streak since Fastlane of having some great matches with all different types of opponents. Like, the style of his opponent doesn't matter. He can adapt and have a good match. And he's been consistently doing that, which is why he's been the best and people haven't been realizing it since 2014.
It is interesting, though, that I just had that entire conversation about how I prioritize. And for me, AJ Styles is probably my favorite. And obviously for him, it's, you know, 90% in-ring what his capabilities are.
right.
So, quickly, SmackDown, do you have any major feelings, concerns, thoughts heading towards Clash of Champions? I'll tell you this, I think the best thing going on SmackDown right now is Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens being together. I really enjoy them together.
Same.
And I'm also enjoying that they did not remove the New Day from the title picture, but rather just made it incorporate, just added people to the picture instead of removing them. But I think, I know that Kevin Owens...
I'm so done with the Bludgeon Brothers, though. Like,
I'm not hearing a lot of love for the Bludgeon Brothers.
No. And Luke Harper, it's unfortunate because he can go. Like, and what they need to do with him is get him far away from Rowan and just revamp the whole gimmick. Like, do a thing where, like, he wins the lottery and then he acts brand new with his money. He cuts his hair, he gets new gear, and then they just let him go. Just let him just go. I'm tired of the Bludgeon Brothers. I don't want to see it anymore.
Is anyone reacting to them at all?
They're reacting. I don't know if, like, you mean cheers or if it's just, like, they people don't like the gear.
Well, like, getting up to go get a snack isn't reacting.
Right. Yeah, it's not working, man. It's not.
But Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, while I understand having them in a tag team, takes KO a little bit away from being at the highest level that he's capable of being at. We'll wrap by talking about Kevin Owens 365. While I realize that it does that, I just enjoy their work together.
Yeah. I think they bring the best out of each other. And that's always been true, though. Like, even when they were against each other in matches and you know, bickering about why their friendship fell apart, they just been bringing the best out of each other. And with this storyline, though, I have a feeling, like, call me crazy, but I think we are going to see Daniel Bryan turn on Shane McMahon.
It real, like straight up, like a real turn?
Yeah. I think so. Because I really feel like Daniel Bryan is so tired of being a puppet and, you know, having his decisions and his opinions just, like, brushed to the side by Shane McMahon. And especially, like, that look that he gave him as SmackDown went off the air and Shane McMahon made his announcement that, like, if they lose, they're going to be fired and I'm the special referee. Like, yo, Daniel Bryan is fed up. And
that is true.
Looking for him to
You're right. He definitely is, like, annoyed that Shane McMahon is trying to govern with this vendetta, which is unprofessional, not the way you lead a brand. I just wonder, man. I so many things make me think Daniel Bryan's going to come back.
Yeah, like that particularly, because he can't put hands or like get involved and then like not have it mean anything.
Boy, would that be an interesting way to go.
I think that's where it's going to go. Like, it has to.
Do you think there's a chance Daniel Bryan's wrestling at WrestleMania this year?
I'd hope so. And I think it'd be cool too, right? Like, he won that, like, WrestleMania 30 was huge for him in New Orleans. So, like, to have him come back and return to the scene of the crime, it'd be dope, I think.
I mean, it would be amazing. I think everyone would be incredibly psyched about it. All right, Kevin Owens 365. What'd you think?
Yo, I was so touched by that documentary. I loved it, and the only thing I didn't like about it was, like, it humanized KO too much for me. Because, like...
Oh, kayfabe only.
Yeah, kayfabe only. Like, the mythological Kevin Owens figure that I have in my head is, like, he don't care. He don't care what nobody thinks. Like, he's badass, he's tough, and, like, there was little things that chipped away at the myth for me in the documentary that I didn't like, but at the same time, those things made the documentary must see.
If you have not seen it yet, the most must see part of it, Greg's absolutely right, it changes the way you think of Kevin Owens. It is very personal in terms of what he's like as a person, how he's driven, and there's some things I really relate to in it. In terms of,
yeah, me too. Which is what I didn't like. Like, he's not supposed to be like me and have those, like, insecurities that I have.
Well, you guys are already similar in one way. where do you think I'm going with this?
Delicious chicken, always.
You are both physically large. Yes, that's right. But yeah, the how sensitive he is, the, like, having these moments when he talks about early on, like, this really real moment when he basically says that SummerSlam 2 years ago was this huge disappointment for him. And he's like, I didn't even appreciate that I was tag teaming with Chris Jericho, like, childhood hero of mine. And I was sitting around like, ugh, this sucks. Really? That's all I have? I thought that was super relatable. And then, yeah, the scene with Vince McMahon, when he goes to ask Vince McMahon what he thought of his WrestleMania match and Vince hated it, is...
Yeah.
Never seen anything like that before.
Yeah. That was heartbreaking, I should say. Because, like, he was just standing there for a while. Like, Vince didn't even acknowledge him. Like, I thought that match was all right. I liked that match. So it's just like, did you hate it that much that, like... It was just wild to see. And, like, it affected him. And
well, yeah, I mean, you go up to Vince McMahon, you're like, hey, was that what you were looking for? And he just says no. And then Vince just doesn't talk to him again. He just starts, like, doing other stuff. And KO's just awkwardly standing there as the guy, this father figure that everyone goes to for approval, is like, no, I didn't like that. And doesn't give you an answer why. Oh, it's brutal.
Yeah. And, man. Another thing I thought was interesting about the documentary too, like, if you watch it with the Goldberg documentary, Goldberg 24, mm-hmm. and you see, like, them pass each other at Fastlane, and that Universal title match, you really see, like, how much it affected both of them.
Good point.
Because
those do go well together in that regard. That's a really good point.
Yeah. Because Goldberg got that championship and, like, his confidence shot up. Like, he's euphoric from the moment that he gets that championship until the documentary ends. And, like, KO gets, like, he loses that championship. And it's just, like, one hit after another after that. Like, just, like, he gets, it affected him in the exact opposite way. Yep. Which is crazy to see.
And he was super bummed out they didn't get to have a real match. If you didn't watch it yet, if you did watch it already, send us your tweets and your thoughts on it at Rosenberg Radio, at Stat Guy Greg. Listen, just because I'm tired on a given week and don't get to cut a promo doesn't mean you guys aren't obligated to be part of the Cheap Heat family. And reach out. Greg, also, I got a few bonus SGG t-shirts I need to give you, and I think that we should give away that I got my hands on.
Oh, yeah, that's glorious.
Shout out to Mark at topshelfpremium.com. SGG, We'll put up another poll this week and see if there's something else from the network that we want to watch.
All right. If sounds good to me.
If you're down. And I'll be in L.A. over the next few days. We'll figure out next week, but please remember to stay mage.
Oh, yeah.